And in that canon of the Matins of that Sunday, this idea is very, very clearly shown. It is also very clearly shown in the rites of baptism, especially when it is connected with an infant. An infant is being baptized, and before that the prayer goes about him or her to become no longer the person of that old man of old age, and to be born again, old age, a child. What is that? Or in the funeral, where it is clearly stated that we are praying for the departed to make him again, or actually it is even in his own words, so to say, representing him, we sing, make me again the citizen of paradise, again, quite clearly. And then explanation of it, that in the beginning thou hast created me out of nothing and gave me the beauty which I was destroying, and therefore now restore me back to the original image of your beauty. Or in the liturgy of St. Basil the Great, or in the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, in the so-called secret prayers, where it is also clearly stated. What does that mean? Well, if I repeat myself, and some of you already heard it last time I was talking on this subject, let us still talk about it a little so that we can understand the cross in that context. That means that we are all, unlike the animals, above time. We are given that ability to know, in our planning, for instance, the future, to have the vision of the future, to have the vision of the timelessness or eternity, and the ability in our spirit to be above it, what is here on earth, of this flowing constantly, to be in the present. And that is what is happening to us when we really come face to face with God, especially the liturgy, when we are in the present. Now, present on earth, strictly speaking, physically, doesn't exist, because it is moving constantly. There is a split of a second, but still it is a second, or a split of it, but it's moving, all the time moving. That means that anything which we do, when we make a choice, is above time. The choice itself is above time. It is in the present, the divine present. The presence of God and the present of ourselves in the first creation. In that sense, in Adam. And that is the meaning of the words of St. Paul about the old Adam and new Adam and everything else connected with all that. Now, therefore, we cannot claim that we're innocent. No one is innocent. No one is a victim of Adam. St. Simeon, the new theologian, simply says, I am Adam. Well, that means that the cross which we have to take upon ourselves is the cross always for our sin. It may be, especially if we judge ourselves, in our judgment, a small, tiny thing. Well, Only God knows what is tiny and what is not tiny. But even if it is tiny, but it is also part of the whole. And the whole is, we can see what is in the world today. All these nuclear armaments, all these killings, all this. We are part of it. We contribute to it by all sorts of our selfish ways. And therefore, when we have the cross in its glorious way of divine love and life, as we tried to portray this morning, and we have it with us as our goal, as our intention, as our way of life as we want to do it, and we confront this with our own sin of Adam, with our own sins, then it is a suffering straightway. Then it is a cross in that sense. Then it is the cross which our Lord took upon himself for us. Then it is the crucifixion. But St. Paul turns it into a different purpose. He calls it crucifixion towards the sin. Crucifixion of sin in me. The crucifixion of myself. That means my own selfishness. My own adherence to the way of life in this world. To these walls of partition. To all these various things which bring us in opposition to each other. And opposition to the rest of the world and so on. And all this narcissism and whatever you call it. When we put it together, the cross as the image of God's love, as the image of the Holy Trinity, and confront our life on this earth, then it is indeed our cross. In other words, there is no one who can say that he hasn't got a cross here on earth. We all have it, in one way or another. And therefore it is not the question of whether it is voluntary or not voluntary. It is simply the matter of fact. What is voluntary is my sin of whatever kind. And sins of all of us, and common sin, as we call it, the sin of Adam. But the cross is that which is on us, upon us, as the calling to heaven. And all men, all women, everybody is called to heaven, because this is the will of God. And that is why some people who are not converted to that consciously, who do not accept that cross consciously, still are given that cross, and given by the circumstances, by the events, by the whole system of life in which we live, by coincidences, by all sorts of things, and by inheritance, by people around us, and so on. And the question is not whether it is given to me or not, but the question is whether I accept what is given to me or not. And the story of the gospel portrays it very clearly. And it was already mentioned here, the two thieves which were crucified on the right and on the left of Jesus. And we know all from the gospel story the reaction of one on the right side and the reaction on the other on the left side. And we also know what we are ourselves singing and praying on Good Friday when we invoke the mercy of Christ alongst the good thief who repented and who accepted his cross. And This is the meaning of the so-called Russian cross, the form of the cross which will be today brought out of the sanctuary according to our tradition. I saw it and it is just like that, you know. It has three bars, not only three bars across, not only one, and not even two. And the one, of course, is just Jesus himself. Then the one above is the inscription, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And on the bottom is the support of the feet. And according to the imprints on the Holy Shroud of Turin, it is quite clearly that that one was put that way. So it actually confirms the tradition of the so-called Russian cross. But the interpretation of that cross, which goes back to early centuries and which was adopted so much by the Russian church and Russian nation, is that this is up to the right because it signifies that the good thief, through his repentance and above all through his acceptance of the cross, is going up to heaven, while the other is going down below. Which, of course, is quite literal in a sense, because he, this one on the left side, already created for himself hell, while even before he died, because of his rebellion against the cross and because of his anger and impossibility to get out of it, and yet angry, it was already hell. And the other one heard the words of Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise, today." Which is significant, this application of time suddenly in its very much reminding of present, today. And the acceptance of that thief, and as a symbol and the image of acceptance of the cross which is given to each one of us, is the special way the Orthodox Church always, but particularly the Russian spirituality, is showing in that kind of the cross. Reminding us that the kingdom of Jesus, as was written by Pilate, in fact, as he said to Pilate himself, is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. And in order to come into the kingdom which is not of this world, I have to accept my cross like that thief did. In the history of Russia, especially today, it is good to speak about it because of the millennium which we are now beginning to celebrate. During this 1,000 years, in that history, there was a very particular way of saints which was accepted so much by the Russian people and inherited from Byzantium, and that is the people who voluntarily accepted upon themselves the cross of other people, of the whole society, of the whole system of that life, and who therefore became so-called fools of Christ, who became really the people who totally and completely, voluntarily, and without waiting to get it, but just took it upon himself, the way of life, which was a terrible, terrible suffering, especially in those days. But in order to show to other people not some of their own selfishness or interest or profiteering or whatever, but just to serve only, they veiled themselves by pretending that they were fools. And through that they were able to defend those who were persecuted, to help those who needed that help in every way, in whatever way, to speak openly to the Tsars and anybody. And what is interesting, that the main visible sign which today is shown on every tourist picture is the cathedral in Moscow, which is dedicated to the Blessed Basil, the fool of Christ. And today in Russia there are many fools of Christ who are pretending that they are fools, in fact are helping the gospel not to be forgotten, not to be abandoned. The church go on and helping people in the terrible situation of godlessness around. Well, that is what it means, Christ's cross in one's life. Not all of us, of course, can follow such paths as this people like Basil, the Blessed, or others, but all of us are called to do what the good thief did. We're not literally as he was on the cross, but we all have our difficulties, indeed. Difficulties because we live in this world, and because we have to answer this world. And when we answer as Christians, we have to answer by the cross. By the cross, its principle, which we heard this morning. But that means always suffering. Always. And we have to accept it and to carry it. And St. Paul clearly explains this when he says that every Christian in baptism is crucified to his sins, to himself, and then rises again, buries with Christ, and rises with Christ in the resurrection. This is happening to us daily. The very beginning is in our baptism, and it's clearly stated in the rite of baptism, but the implementation of baptism is every minute. And as we are passing through this life on earth, through this time, through this moving ahead in whatever sense, we constantly are called to be baptized. That doesn't mean a repeat of a baptism, but a renewal of a baptism. Renewal of our baptismal vows. Renewal of our struggle with ourselves. Renewal of our acceptance of what is the challenge of the cross, as we know it in a positive sense, in order to be partakers of the resurrection. And here we come to the meaning of the cross in one's life as a resurrection. Again, I simply repeat St. Paul, who deals with that very much. And indeed, it is the tradition of our church and its liturgical life. When we come after this Lent to Easter, we will hear the words of St. John Chrysostom, where it is clearly stated that we are all joyfully accepted into the resurrection precisely because of that cross. In that cross, which is such that everything is at that moment forgiven, and it doesn't matter what kind of a cross it was. He says, whoever is here, even if you came here in an early hour or at 11th hour, come all to the same glory of risen Lord. And this is the cross of resurrection in our life. And this is not only at Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ every morning when we get up. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ every time when we turn from sin to virtue or to repentance or to prayer, at least, asking Christ, forgive us. If I did something, if I became angry with somebody and then came to peace, I am already in the resurrection. And in this sense, of course, it is the cross which is not only the cross of the suffering, because otherwise it would be intolerable, but it is the cross of joy. And that is why the cross always was, in the tradition of the Orthodox Church, the cross as a banner for victory, as a cross which is leading us into final victory over evil of every kind, evil in myself, even in others, even in the system of life, evil in this or that state, evil what is brought to us by enemies, evil in the attacks upon us, and the cross is the sign of the resurrection, which Constantine saw, said, you will conquer by this. Conquer by this doesn't mean that the cross will become a sword. No, Jesus said Peter no, when he wanted to do that. By the sign of the cross means by that system of life which is portraying in the cross and which is revealing the love of God and His love in Himself and towards us.